The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to an edition of Bite by Bite. It's a short little segment we like to talk about here, 10, 15 minutes, and we talk about things that have a specificity to the heart of Alabama Food Bank and, of course, Feeding America. He is Michael Coleman, the CEO of that wonderful institution down there in beautiful Montgomery, Alabama. And I keep hearing, Michael, that our state gives back more than any other state in the country. It's one thing that we really take a pride in. We're always 48th, 49th, or 50th and everything. But when it comes back to giving back, whether it be through a church, through a charity of ours, whatever, our state is incredibly giving. And I was wondering if that's based on our socially economic conditions that we're in. How do the rich compare to the ultra poor in this country and how they give? And how does giving to food pantries or banks, how does that coincide with other non-for-profits like, say, March of Dimes or Muscular Dystrophy Association?
Yeah, it's really a great question because it really bleeds over into some sociological issues. For instance, you know, in states where there's kind of through the Bible Belt, and of course, Alabama's right in the heart of the Bible Belt, you know, most of us were brought up going to church. And one of the key things that we partook of every week was, you know, the collection tray being passed around. And now so much giving at churches now is digital. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have that same dynamic. But as a little boy, I remember, even if I didn't have money, they'd give it to me and put it in a tray. And I'd ask my folks later, you know, why do we do that? What's going on? Well, we have to give to this. We have to give to that. You support the church. You pay the preacher, but you have to, you know, help poor people and all of that. And so you grow up with the idea, and especially in religious environments, we, regardless of what doctrinal issues, I think all of us believe who are followers of Jesus, that the idea is we want to care for the poor. And so I have seen incredible examples of both wealthy people giving and very poor people giving. And so part of that, I think, I can't account for all of that, is just the idea of blessing others with what you have and always sharing. Now, it looks different over the generations. My great-grandfather, I did not know him on my mother's side, but my grandmother used to tell me that back during the Depression, he was feeding five families. So it was a different type of giving.
Gotcha.
But he felt responsible for those families. And I don't even know their whole dynamics. I don't know if there were health issues. I don't know if the husband just, there was no work available. I don't know. But in the gardens, they grew gardens. I mean, they grew food with the idea that, hey, this is not just, oh, look at this fresh squash or look at these fresh peas. It was,
they grew to eat it,
just to survive. Yeah, absolutely. And they took all that very seriously.
You know what I think? It's funny you say that because we had three neighbors around us that had at least an acre lot. They weren't farmers. They just had huge gardens. And I mean, that's what they ate. That's what they, and it was great to have those fresh vegetables. It wasn't like, hey, I'm growing some pumpkins just to grow pumpkins.
That's right.
I mean, you utilized everything, whether going to the compost or not, but it's really interesting.
If you killed a hog, you know, it was usually like you didn't own a hog farm. You just had a few hogs.
Yeah.
And you would occasionally kill a hog and again, share the meat, kill a deer, same thing, kill a cow, you know. And now today, we're so much less agriculturally based than before. You know, most of the farms are big, even though a lot of people have smaller stuff. So we have food banks and what I have found is it's amazing the heart of people who have been helped, who really enjoy when they have the opportunity to give a dollar or do something and give in some way, give of their time, whatever. They love giving back. And because if you think about the psychology behind it, if you are a person who only receives help, and we all need help at times growing up, we've all been helped either by parents, family members, society, whatever. But if all you ever are is somebody who is in the receive mode, then psychologically, that bears a weight on you, because then you're saying, well, what value do I have? Mm-hmm. If everybody feeds me, if everybody cares for me, if everybody does all this, what am I able to do? And I get it. Some people are in such poor health conditions or in such poor circumstances. They are mostly in receive mode, and it's not a character flaw. It's not, I offer no judgment towards that person, but just for their own self-worth, people who say, I want to be able to give back. One of the best examples I have was many, many years ago with the very first nonprofit. There was this lady, she was in her 80s, and she came and she picked up a sack of groceries. And when she got ready to go, she came to me and said, hey, I'm going to come back this week and I want to work. I want to do something. I said, oh, no, ma'am, you don't understand. You don't have to pay for this. This food is for you. And she said, I understand that, but I was raised that you don't take something for nothing if there's something you can do about it. So yeah. She would come and work in the thrift store. She'd sweep the floors, whatever she could. And that was what she had to give back. But she could walk away with a bag of groceries with her head held high, because in that moment, she knew that she was a receiver, mm-hmm. but she knew in many other instances in her life, she was a giver.
Yeah, that's great.
So when I think about in Alabama and growing up in that environment, we are people who are taught the poor is society's responsibility, and we should love them and care for them and help lift them up. Now, anytime you get there, you inevitably get to a point that you start getting the questions of, well, how long do you help? How much do you help? Is it an individual's responsibility or is it a government's responsibility? Because one of the things Alabama is not great at is putting in governmental safeguards for our citizens. Yeah. So it does fall to the individual so many times, because we just don't invest a lot of money in programs. And when I say that, I'm saying that with a little bit of sadness. And I used to be totally on the complete opposite side of that argument. But working in nonprofit space for the last couple of decades and just seeing some of the most difficult, heart-wrenching stories and knowing that they're doing everything they can to survive, but they may just not even have family, friends, connections. They may be homebound, whatever. I wish there was a little bit more help coming from our state agencies that would do that. But that's mostly a political issue and political challenges that we have. And so I won't get into that today. I will say that I find that most people, regardless of what they have, are interested in giving to some degree. Probably maybe in 5, 6, 7 years ago, Birmingham was voted the number one philanthropic city in the United States. And it is, but I think it's illustrative of the heart of Alabamians who genuinely are willing to give. If they've got money in their pocket, yep. They're willing to give it to help other people. And we certainly need that in food banking. One of the things I'll kind of end the thought with this. The challenge that I've recognized is, you know, it's kind of the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And what I mean by that is, that's true in a lot of cases, but sometimes you're out there fighting. You've got these buckets of different people with needs, mm-hmm. and the person over there who has health related needs, the person over here who has other kind of challenges, financial needs, whatever. They're all legitimate. And I want the other people to be successful, but I'm out there in the market space saying I'm talking to people who are givers and who do care, but may not know anything about food insecurity because they may never have experienced it themselves. Yeah. They don't have any perspective whatsoever. So their mind doesn't go to helping food bank. because they just don't know anything about it. So my job as a CEO, and really every CEO's job, is constantly not pounding people for donations, but pounding people with information and pounding our community to let them know that food insecurity is a serious thing. There are people and children and seniors who are suffering. But I cannot begin to tell you the number of times in my prayers how thankful I am that I live in a community where people are not indifferent to the suffering of others.
This is Bite by Bite.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.